Joining me now on the phone is State Representative Tom Demme, a Republican from Dixon. He is the Deputy Republican Leader of the Illinois House. And Tom, thank you so much for joining me.
I'm glad to talk to you, Rick.
It's always good to talk to you. And I go back to last Sunday where we had Governor Pritzker on. We had Jim Durkin, the House Republican leader, on, talking about a preview kind of what we should look forward to in the opening week of the fall legislative veto session. And then little did we know that on Monday, State Representative Luis Arroyo would be actually not be in Springfield with the rest of you, but actually in a federal courtroom where we find that the feds now have allegations that Arroyo, a Democrat from Chicago, assistant Democratic leader, allegedly was offering bribes to a current state senator to advance, I would say, gambling-related legislation, and that Arroyo had this side business of lobbying for gaming interests, certain gaming interests, video gaming interests, in the city of Chicago. A remarkable turn of events, especially when there already was a cloud hanging over the veto session, with federal investigations of Martin Sandoval, state senator, Democrat, and head of the Senate Transportation Committee. Excuse me. And then we had State Senator Tom Cullerton from Villa Park over union-related issues. So what are we to make of Springfield these days?
Well, you laid out the scope and size of these investigations pretty well. And really, I think that's sort of what's pervading the conversation right now in Springfield is we're hearing about investigations that are going back to 2016 that are involving several different members of the General Assembly, involving local elected officials. There's a probe. It seems like we're coming across a new probe every day. And I think a lot of the question right now is just how interconnected are these efforts by the feds? And, you know, we as legislators right now, what do we make of it? You know, what can we do to try to address some of these glaring issues that have come up and that have, you know, are part of today's culture, which is required the feds to come in and lay these multi-year efforts to try to root out the problems.
Hasn't anybody learned anything from Blagojevich?
Well, you'd think that would be a good warning sign. I mean, you know, former Governor Blagojevich is still in federal prison in Colorado. So, you know, that was supposed to be kind of the wake-up call to everybody that says, you know, this kind of conduct is not going to be tolerated anymore. And I think one of the most troubling things now is, you know, we're not seeing just a targeted investigation of one instance. You know, this is not a quick hit about, you know, find one thing that happened wrong. Instead, we're finding this overlapping series of investigations that are ensnaring more and more people that have been running for years. You know, that's indicative not just of, you know, a bad apple or a bad actor, but a much larger, more cultural and systemic problem.
Well, and we have issues involving lobbying and special interests with Commonwealth Edison having been subpoenaed and also making notification to the Securities Exchange Commission, and ComEd always being a major, major, if not 800-pound gorilla of special interest groups in Springfield. And I got to tell you, you know, when I looked at the last week, it was kind of like, why would I vote on anything? Why would I touch my voting switch if I'm a member of the General Assembly right now?
Well, that's certainly, you know, concerning a lot of people. And that's why going back to this veto session, you know, we go back a week from Tuesday. I think people are rightfully trying to figure out, you know, what's the next shoe to drop? What's the next investigation that we find out about? What's the next complaint that the feds decide to release? It has cast a long shadow over any legislative activity in Springfield. And, you know, as we're talking about And not just what's the talk under the dome in Springfield, but also, you know, what are the people of Illinois seeing when they wake up each day and, you know, they hear on the radio or TV or read the newspaper that they've got another elected official ensnared in this investigation. You know, they have a right to demand some action from us to be sure that we're taking this seriously, that we're trying to prevent these problems from coming up again. This is not the kind of thing where, you know, we get to address these issues on our timeline. That's been the problem for the last several years. There's some urgency to this now because of the size and scope of these investigations.
Well, and you proposed some legislation starting out on that point. Why don't you explain what you're looking at? I also know Senate Republicans have proposed a package as well.
Yeah, so the legislation that I introduced, and this kind of goes back to your lead-in talking about how former Representative Arroyo was charged with offering a bribe to a sitting state senator. And I think a lot of folks, when they first hear that, they think, well, why in the world would, you know, one elected official bribe another elected official? Usually it's somebody from the outside. Well, in this case, Representative Arroyo had been hired to lobby on behalf of a client. So here he was, you know, not only acting as a legislator voting on some of these issues, he was also being paid to lobby for those issues. And so, you know, after that, folks' reaction is, well, how in the world is that legal? And the fact is, right now, that is permitted by state law. A member of the General Assembly can also at the same time be a paid lobbyist to local government units. So the bill that I have is real simple. It says, look, if you're a member of the General Assembly, you cannot be a paid lobbyist. Period. I think that's the kind of, you know, quick action. It's focused. It looks at the problem that actually arose, and helps us show the people of Illinois that we're taking this seriously, and we're not simply going to say we'll convene another blue ribbon commission to look at what solutions could be. We need to have a combination of some fast acting things to show that we're trying to address these problems, as well as a longer term conversation about the culture.
Well, I do think, I agree, you know, when you start talking about another Blue Ribbon Commission on ethics, I mean, obviously we had, you know, following Blagojevich, there was attempts to try to crack down on ethics laws. But at the same time, you know, this seems to be, in addition to what you're looking at, the entire issue of conflict of interest and just how... you know, it's a matter that a lawmaker has to declare themselves whether they feel there was a conflict of interest in something. And
I think there's also the issue with statements of economic interest. You know, right now we're required to file these statements of economic interest that are supposed to identify where potential conflicts of interest might lie.
Right, sources of income, outside sources of income.
And they're not real detailed today, and it's hard. You know, even if you get these documents from the Secretary of State's office, it's really difficult to say where a conflict might lie for a legislator. And so, I think another step that we can take in the short term is to improve the disclosure of where financial interests lie for members of the General Assembly, similar to the level that, you know, we require today for judges, for example.
I think this opens up another question, and I think it's a significant one that people are going to have to think about in this state if we keep going down this road. And I'm going to save that question until after the break. We're speaking with Republican State Representative Tom Demmer, the Illinois House Deputy Republican Leader. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. . 7:47 Central Standard Time on this time change Sunday morning in Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the WGN Skyline studio. Joining me on the phone is Illinois House Deputy Republican Leader Tom Demmer from Dixon. We're talking about the incidence of federal investigations and kind of this sprawling network of investigations that are going on involving lawmakers, some lawmakers in Springfield, some special interest groups. We had State Representative Luis Arroyo resign ultimately on Friday. after earlier having to give up his committee chairmanship, resigning in the face of a committee that was basically going to vote to expel him from the Illinois House. Tom, what I'm wondering is, what if we had a full-time legislature that was paid by the state?
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. You know, there's some other states that tend to have more full-time requirements. The congressional level, you know, members of Congress are prohibited from having some outside income. I think the question, you know, kind of comes down to what's the desired makeup of a legislature? You know, what do we think can best represent the people? And there's certainly some strength to saying that, you know, having citizen legislators, having people who, you know, have both a foot in the world of the Capitol and a foot in the world of kind of the real world back in their districts, you know, whether that helps them do their job better. I think there's a lot of evidence to suggest that it does. But, you know, the important thing here, I think, is as we look at, you know, the investigations that are happening right now, a lot of the involvement of legislators in some of these initiatives, what their interests are, they're not well known right now. It's, you know, it kind of happens as maybe we only find out they had a connection to a certain business or a certain industry because of an investigation. You know, I think that there's a real opportunity for us to say we should require that legislators, candidates make known what their interests are, what their ownership of this or that, or, you know, who they're working for. And let voters make a determination. Very seldom do you see somebody who, you know, is running a bill to benefit something that they're directly tied into. And I think the reason is because sunlight is a pretty effective disinfectant there. So typically these things happen when nobody knows a connection exists.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. The idea of having a citizen legislature is a noble one and, you know, was meant to kind of achieve that people from various walks of life served as kind of, you know, our true representatives in Springfield. But I just keep seeing the profit motive from the outside corrupting the process. And I, at the same time, you know, we already know what most people think of politicians, no disrespect. And it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to pay them a full time salary. Come on.
Well, I think it's also, you know, look, it's the exception to have full time legislatures. You look at states across the country. So, you know, this concept that it can't be done without tainting the process, I don't think really holds up. You know, we only need to look at states around us to find that they're not suffering from the same kinds of federal corruption probes, long-running federal corruption probes that Illinois is. So, you know, I'm not sure that's what the distinguishing factor is here. You know, I think we have to look into economic interest disclosures, but we also have to ask other things about, you know, how is our election process set up? You know, are we getting genuine competition in districts, or are we getting, you know, maybe some hand-picked candidates from a political organization or, you know, the local machine? You know, that's where bigger cultural reforms like fair maps can come in, where you get more genuine competition, where you're not letting one individual draw their own district so that they're immune from challenges for another 10 years. When you start to layer some of those cultural issues on top of each other, you create an environment where people feel like they can get away with something like this. That shouldn't be the case.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely an insular kind of atmosphere that goes on. What do you see are the chances of your legislation or any meaningful ethics legislation getting done in this veto session?
I think the chances should be fairly good. You know, we've had a conversation about both my bill to prevent lobbying by members of the General Assembly. There's another bill that actually has already passed the Senate and is sitting in the House to improve our economic interest disclosure forms. I really think it's important to look at this in kind of two stages. First, we have to take some action in veto session to show that we're serious about this. that we're not immune to the calls for some change in Springfield. But on the larger sense, you know, some of these issues, it will take some more time. There's some complicated issues here. So I think we need to take action. When we come back for veto session, pass a couple of bills, but then look and say, you know, the course of the next couple of months, before we reconvene for next year's session, we should have a chance by then to put together a more substantive ethics reform package. And I think there's interest on both sides of the aisle to do that.
So maybe something to show the interest, but looking ahead more to the regular spring session for a more substantive activity.
Well, you know, even before we start the regular spring session, you know, it should be one of the first items that we address next year. Going back to your earlier point about, you know, don't these investigations sort of cast a shadow over all of our activity in Springfield? Do we really want to go back to Springfield next year and go through a normal legislative session like nothing happened? I mean, I think the, you know, folks on the outside are going to say that's a terrible plan. It undermines confidence in the General Assembly. So we need to take this seriously because the people of Illinois are taking this seriously. This can't be something where, you know, we decide whether an action is sufficient or not. We've got to take some steps and then go back to the people and say, you know, here's what we've done. Do you agree this was the right thing to do?
Well, once again, given kind of the cloudy atmosphere in Springfield, and yet, you know, here in Chicago, the mayor looking for certain things to come out of the veto session. And I'm not sure there was a great appetite for things like the graduated real estate transfer tax authorization increase, or for changing the casino gaming tax structure to help the city. I'm not sure there was a great appetite that existed before. I almost wonder if there's any appetite at all right now.
And it's a good question. You know, certainly these investigations have distracted from the issues that are sort of time sensitive. You know, the mayor has been asking for some specific things on a time schedule, and I just don't think there's an ability for us to address that given the elephant in the room of, you know, whose door the feds are going to knock down next. But, you know, the longer we go with these clouds and questions hanging over our head, the more difficult it'll be to do anybody's legislation, even some that seem, you know, non-controversial. And so, you know, we need to understand that if we're not going to address these significant issues that exist within the General Assembly as an institution, we can't continue to operate and to do the things that we're supposed to be doing for the people of Illinois.
Well, last week, Leader Durkin basically said about veto session is basically one of the most overhyped and least productive times to begin with. I mean, do you see anything substantive coming out of this session? Things like the governor's agenda item, Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker's agenda item about merging the police and fire pensions, merging them into two separate statewide pension systems rather than all of the 600 plus municipal systems.
You know, that's probably a good illustration of an issue that we could have spent more time on. Yeah, that's one that has historically had support on both sides of the aisle. But there's a lot of questions about, you know, just the details or specifics of this proposal and how it affects your local plans. That would have been a good use of our time to spend a veto session looking into that issue and trying to get something passed. As the time ticks away, though, it becomes less likely that you can take a complex and complicated issue like that and actually get it across the finish line. But I think a good example, given its opportunity for bipartisan support, a good example of a way we could have spent our time.
So no one should expect virtually anything, except ethics.
Yeah,
maybe.
I picked the under. I might take the under on the rest.
vote the under. All right, very good. Illinois House Deputy Republican Leader Tom Demmer, Republican from Dixon, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks a lot, Rick.